Praised be Jesus and Mary. Saint Agatha was a virgin martyr of the 3rd century who died under the persecution of Decius, the emperor. And she died because she heroically exercised the virtue of chastity. And chastity is that virtue that inclines our wills to use or refrain from our sexual tendency according to God's plan for this human tendency. Fortitude helps us to do that because fortitude is a virtue that allows us, inclines our will to persevere in what is good and what is right despite obstacles that might get in the way. Saint Agatha shows us a heroic example of both chastity and fortitude. And God is a lover of chastity because God created in us this sexual tendency because he wants it to be exercised between a husband and wife in marriage for the sake of bringing them together into such unity of life as to become one flesh and to transmit new life to a child. And God loves chastity. And if we had that in the church today, we'd be much better off for it. And if those who are not married knew how to abstain for the sake of love of God and love of their bodies and love of the virtue of chastity from sexual activity, we'd be all the better. And if those who have given themselves to a life of celibacy too wanted to and knew too how to refrain from using this physical tendency for the sake of exercising a supernatural spiritual childhood for the good of the church would be all the better. But instead, kind of tying this into maybe a little bit of a current situation, if you're asking where I'm going with this, instead of seeing maybe in the example of the holy martyrs of chastity a solution to today's problems, to the problems that really plague the church, the attention is kind of deflected to a problem not of unchastity and cowardice before the difficulties that get between us and chastity, but a problem of a vague clericalism, which no one knows what exactly it would be. But I think as long as the problem, the attention is deflected to a search for a solution to this vague clericalism, the clericalism will actually prevail. Because we can say that clericalism is precisely that. The pursuit of a preconceived agenda, a preconceived questionable, objectionable agenda that pursues it precisely relying on its own power as a cleric, a power that doesn't have to deal with reality, a power that doesn't have to deal with objections, a power that doesn't have to deal with questions, a power that doesn't have to deal with anything that stands between it and its lustful goal. So for as long as we deny that there's a problem of a lack of chastity in the church, and we shift the focus to just some clericalism, the clericalism will prevail because the unchastity will remain unchecked, uncurbed, unremedied, and we'll focus on an administrative problem that sure exists, but will never be remedied unless the unchastity is uprooted from the hearts of especially the clerics in the church, which have assumed positions of power and don't want the real problem to be seen and use their clerical status to deflect attention from it. So why say that? Why say it? Because in the mystical body of Christ, things circulate, you know, good and bad things circulate. So we can live our chastity heroically because it will circulate through the mystical body of Christ for its good. So we are called to live this virtue of chastity heroically, like Saint Agatha, for the good of this mystical body. And our heroic virtue will circulate and will resonate and will reach those who need it and will reach those who are without it. And we need to live it perseveringly. And we need to pray for the church, of course. We need to pray for it hard and sacrifice for the good of it. Saint Agatha, again, may she intercede for us, for the church, for our shepherds, for those who lead the flock, that all those who call themselves Christians might live that virtue that Christ loves, chastity and purity and innocence, even at the cost of great sacrifice. Praised be Jesus and Mary.